Complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention to the chapter we read in Romans, chapter 12, and verse 12. Romans, chapter 12, and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. In the earlier part of this epistle of Paul to the Romans, he has been laying down the sure foundation of the soul's salvation, that it is in Christ alone. The Lamb of God, the Saviour of sinners. And dear friends, in laying down the glory of Christ, the Son of God, in his sufferings, he warns very much concerning the ways of sin. And dear friends, everyone is born in the way of sin, declaring clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that meant himself also. He himself had come short of the glory of God. He, Paul, had come to know what it was to be a sinner. And Paul had come to know what it was to be a sinner, saved by grace. Oh, how wide is that broad way through which there's a wide gate that leads unto eternal destruction, to damnation. And the Apostle Paul was, as Saul of Tarsus, was in that way, rejoicing in it, and not knowing, oh, that the light that was within him was darkness. The darkness of his own goodness, the darkness of his own light and knowledge of his own righteousness, the darkness of his own zeal for God, a hater of Jesus Christ, convinced he was doing that which was right for the purpose of God. But dear friends, he came to know by the grace of God where he was. He said, sin revived and I died. Oh, through the power of the word, through the revelation of Jesus Christ, Saul of Tarsus became a changed man. He said, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our heart, when he wrote to the Corinthians. And so it is with all the Lord's people, all those that are born dead in trespasses and in sins. To reveal the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Revelation. Light out of darkness. Oh, we wrote, didn't he, to the Ephesian church, describing us exactly as we all are. In time past, walking according to the course of this world. Dear friends, is this the testimony of each child of God? Is it our testimony? In time past, walking in accordance to the course of this world, even though we may have been religious, in our walk as Saul of Tarsus was, but according to the prince of the power of the air, as Satan. Oh, dear friends, what a deceiver he is. Satan can convince that a religious way is a good way when it's his way. Deceiving the people that there is no hope and faith in Jesus Christ. The truth hidden from their hearts, from their souls. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. No obedience to the truth as it is in Jesus of the holy word of God. No, there is no acceptance of it. The fear of the Lord is not in all things concerning them, among whom also we all had our conversation. That's not just talking, that means our conduct. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh. Well, we are of the earth, earthy, aren't we? And our hearts will only drive us to do that which it demands of our lusts and our pride. And oh, to entertain these lusts as a priority in all that we think and say and do. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath. That's God's wrath. Even as others. The wrath of God for sin. His anger. Oh, how great, dear friends, it is. For all power is with him to cast into hell those who remain the children of wrath. And dear friends, if it was not for the gift of his only begotten Son, you and I would be in that way still tonight, wouldn't we? But God, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Oh yes, our God is a consuming fire. And many shall be cast into that lake of fire in that last day. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Dear friends, this is the big question, isn't it? We should search out our hearts continually. Are we included in that us wherein he loved us? Loved with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness did he draw us out of nature's darkness, out from being the nature of the children of wrath. When we were dead in sins, quickened us, made us alive, together with Christ, with Christ. Dear friends, that means our sins were laid upon him. That means with Christ. He was bearing our iniquities. With Christ, when Christ died. Oh, all that of our sins and guilt laid upon him. For him to pay the price demanded by the law. By grace ye are saved. Oh, dear friends, we cannot enter, can we, of ourselves into the depths of this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But where sin abounds, his grace doth much more abound. Dear friends, when we come to know this, then we are changed, aren't we? We are changed people. We're not like we once were. It's like the light going on in a dark place. Everything changes, everything becomes clearer. We know things now that we never realized and knew before. We see things in a completely different light. And our glory is to God, the glory of the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. By grace you are saved, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, Saul of Tarsus was a boaster. Because he entrusted in his own works, his own understanding of the law, his own administration of the law. But dear friends, the law became his schoolmaster, didn't he, when he was taught that he was a sinner under the law. And the law could make nothing perfect. He could not blot out one of his sins now. Oh, that which he counted, was value to him, was now but dung. That he might win Christ and be found in him, quickened together with Christ. Not of yourselves, the gift of God, the gift of God. And dear friends, what the Lord gives, no one can take it away. What the Lord gives for the salvation of the soul, Satan cannot take it away. We can now rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Oh, Paul writes again and again to the churches regarding rejoicing. Their deliverance, their salvation, sure and steadfast. Through that which they've received of the Holy Ghost. Those views by faith to believe on Christ, the dying Saviour, to know the power of that shed blood on Calvary's cross to atone for their sins. The burden of sin, dear friends, goes away. There's light, there's knowledge, there's glory, there's a happiness. The banner over one is love. And you're never the same again. It's not I think so. It's not I hope so. It's I know so. You can now truly rejoice in hope. Hope of eternal life. Hope that Christ has gone before you to prepare a place in glory. And you can hope in the constant sheltering in that blood and the love, the redeeming love of Christ, which shall never be removed from you. It's called hope, dear friends, because we have not yet received it. But it's not a vain hope. The word hope here in Greek also means expectation. We expect it now to be so. Well, what does Peter say when he writes to the church, or to the people of Cappadocia, Galatia, Bithynia, etc., in his first epistle? Through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's that place reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. Like it is, isn't it, when we reserve a place, perhaps on an aeroplane, to go somewhere, we reserve our seat. We've now got the hope, the expectation that when the time comes, it'll be there for us. It's not a vain hope. The price has been paid. Our name is on it. Reserved in heaven for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, dear friends, then we can rejoice in hope. But do you know, dear friends, whilst we are rejoicing in hope, many things can come to cast us down, can't they? There is a rejoicing in hope, and there should be every day, every hour, when we are exercised by faith. When faith is in exercise, looking beyond the things of time to the things that are eternal. or the sufferings, course we shall, in this earthly life, although we rejoice in hope. We may have to partake in difficulties, sufferings, trials of our faith. But dear friends, the trial of our faith, which the Lord may bring upon us, is to strengthen our faith. Faith is not strengthened by everything going smoothly and well, is it? We then tend to lose sight of Jesus and his cross. Our lust and pride carry us away. Oh, things go well, we're not in prayer as we once were. But when these tribulations come, dear friends, we are still in the exhorted in the exercise of faith to still solemnly rejoice in Christ our Saviour. That no matter what comes in our path, nothing can separate us from his love. It's still there. The Lord is still there. And we can, and that's our strength, isn't it, to rejoice in hope. Oh, dear friends, I don't think anybody came into so great a trouble in the scriptures than Job, did they? All providential mercies of his possessions and his own health and strength taken from him. And then with all that taken from him, his integrity and his faith in God was tried by those three friends, falsely accusing him, and very subtly also. Well, he said, I've escaped death by the skin of my teeth. But dear friends, the Lord did not let the faith he had bestowed upon his servant Job go away from him. Oh, Job said, didn't he? He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. What did Job know were appointed for him? Dear friends, it was the foundation of his faith. I know that my Redeemer liveth. There was the expression of his faith. If he knew his Redeemer lived, he knew he was bought with a price. The price of his sins had been paid for. One had redeemed him. No, Christ had not yet physically come. But by faith he could look to the promise of the seed of the woman to bruise the serpent's head. By faith, taught by the Spirit of God, Job was steadfast in that faith. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Oh, we came to where, yes, he did not find the Lord in prayer to commit his way unto him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Ah, but here was his faith, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, not Satan, he did not know why he was in this trouble, did he? He did not know what had taken place. He did not know that the Lord was using the circumstances of Job to prove Satan was a liar. And that, dear friends, for the benefit of us in the Word of God, that through these accounts, these scriptures, we may have hope and comfort in the things of God. That no matter how low we may come and fall in tribulations, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing will remove completely that faith, where we can still trust in him at all times, weak though it may be. He knoweth the way that I take. Oh, Job said concerning if he could pray, oh, will he speak against me? No, but he will put strength in me. There was his faith, that if he could but pour out his heart in the presence of God. He performeth the thing that's appointed for me. What was appointed for Job? His redemption. The redemption of his soul. There was the foundation of his faith. And dear friends, if he believed in a Redeemer, he believed in Christ to pay this price for his sins, and therefore he feared God. But not only that, he believed in the resurrection of Christ. I know that my Redeemer liveth. How did he know that? Oh, dear friends, those evidences through the Spirit and through his prayers and tokens of the love of God, the love of Christ. Oh, he was a praying man, prayed for his children and so forth. And he believed in the resurrection of Christ, didn't he? That though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Raised incorruptible, to be one with the Saviour in his presence. And I shall behold him and not another. No, his eyes would be fixed upon his Saviour. Rejoicing in hope, dear friends. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Oh, what an example we have with Job, don't we? Are we patient in tribulation? Oh, left to ourselves, we're anything but, aren't we? We become impatient. We seek to take the matter in our own hands, go our own way, to our own understanding. Go the way which seems right unto us. Dear friends, that's not the right way, is it? The exhortation here, dear friends, is in all our tribulations still to rejoice in hope and to be instant in prayer, continuing instant in prayer. That means constantly. Instant, constantly earnest in our prayers, constantly earnest, committing all our way unto the Lord. We do not know why these things come upon us. We do not know why these things may aggravate us and in the providential circumstances of our lives. But the Lord does. Nothing takes place, dear friends, outside of his control. Satan can do no more to us than what the Lord permits. And Paul in Romans 8 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Dear friends, what is that good? Dear friends, that's an increase in our faith, a sweeter assurance of hope of eternal life. The blessing of our soul, our strengthening to look beyond time to the things that are eternal, that we come to know greater our sins, that we may grow in his grace, that's the good, that he may have all the glory. Oh, what did Job say? He says, behold, I am vile, I repent in dust and ashes. And it was then, dear friends, that his deliverance came. Oh, you know, dear friends, when we come into tribulations, are they for the deepening of the knowledge of our sins before a holy God? Like the gold tried in the fire, under the heat, dear friends, the impurity is expressed, isn't it? And when it's expressed, the refiner removes it. And the end of that gold is far purer than it was when it started the fire. Oh, dear friends, our times are in the Lord's hand. But nothing can separate you from his love. The fire won't. The fiery trial won't. The Lord is still there. Oh, in spite of our sins, our faults and our failings. Oh, poor Judah was brought into captivity, wasn't it? Because of their sins and iniquities, oh, the chastening hand and the judgment of God upon them. The chastening, dear friends, was to eventually bring forth the precious fruit of his righteousness. At the end of those 70 years, the very end of Ezekiel's gospel, the last words, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Dear friends, in all your troubles, in all your distresses, in all your difficulties, in all your troubles, all your anxieties, all your cares, the Lord is there. If he has begun that good work in you. If he hasn't begun a good work in you, dear friend, you can take no further in the scriptures, can you, at that time? No. Everything else is vain. All his promises are meaningless. But if the Lord has begun that good work, if you can see that day which changed your heart, renewed your will, turned your feet to Zion's hill, then all things are yours. Ye are Christ's. Christ is God. And all the precious promises are his for you. And you can plead them. And you can still rejoice in hope. Hope through faith. Faith in the precious Saviour, the precious Redeemer. Oh, poor Jacob. He said, all these things are against me. Oh, dear friends, if Jacob was here tonight, we'd say, Jacob, come and give a testimony how all those things were against you. They weren't, were they? He would have to testify they were for him. Yes, his ways wasn't the Lord's way. His thoughts weren't the Lord's thoughts. He had to go down into Egypt and there he died. Not as he perhaps interpreted the promise of God to him when he slept at Bethel. And he said, all this land will I give thee, and I will be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest. He would expect to end his days in that promised land. But no. But the Lord was still with him in accordance with the promise, wasn't he? He could rejoice in hope when he died of eternal life. Well, dear friends, these things are yours and they're mine. If we know that the Lord is mindful and has been merciful to us. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Oh, it's Paul, isn't it? Earlier speaks of that. And again, it is through faith. Faith, the gift of God. By whom also Jesus Christ we have access, by faith. Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's that eternal heavenly place. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Dear friends, all the ease and comforts of earthly life don't, do they? There's no need of patience when everything is going well. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What's the experience of David? In that miry clay, in that pit. And dear friends, he couldn't deliver himself from it, could he? But he cried unto the Lord. Instant in prayer. And he waited patiently for the Lord. He waited patiently. And the Lord heard him. Delivered him from that pit. Delivered him from the miry clay. Set his feet upon the rock. Dear friends, that was his faith in God, wasn't it? Through Christ Jesus, who, dear friends, he'd received the forgiveness of his sins. Thou shalt not die. I have put away thy sin. Oh, dear friends, that's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, isn't it? In the face of Jesus Christ. The riches of his grace, the forgiveness of our sins. Tribulations worketh patience. As we watch and wait, as we pray unto him for his appearing. And dear friends, we may have to wait till our cry is right. Pleading forgiveness for our transgressions and our departings. And patience works experience. Experience. Dear friends, of the knowledge of the grace of God. As we wait for him by faith. Or to know that He has not left us. We don't deserve the least of his mercies. But he bestows it all, and more tokens of his love. And that experience establishes us more in hope. We read of the full assurance of hope, don't we? The Lord is mindful of us. That hope makes not ashamed. It doesn't come, dear friends, to vanity, and it doesn't extinguish. It doesn't make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us in tribulations. The love of God given unto us. And through this great experience, we grow in the knowledge of his love. And he has never left us nor forsaken us, but has brought us safely through to where we glorify him. As we gain, oh, how often do I say it, that exhortation to call upon him in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You know, dear friends, all these things bring us to walk in love. Love to God, love to Christ, love to his people. All these two chapters speak of that love, don't they? You see, the exercise of our faith, where we have true faith, is to walk it out in love. In love to Christ, in love to God, in love to one another. To love one another as he hath loved us. Oh, there's many reasons why we can have contentions. We've all got differences. We've all got our characters. We've all got different thoughts. And dear friends, Paul is speaking here of the church, isn't he? You know, if we know that we are sinners saved by his grace, as the Apostle Paul did, oh, that glorious exercise of experience, sorry, he had on the Damascus Road. When he could say, oh, the Lord in that great light shone in and turned his darkness into light, like the one we had on the Lord's Day afternoon. Oh, that one who was born blind. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Dear friends, do you know that experience? Have you come to add, can you look at a day and a season in your lives when, oh, that has taken place? Then, dear friends, if the Lord has had such mercy upon you, you're part of his church. You're part of his people. And the church, dear friends, is to be united together in love to Christ. Love one to another. We might be of our different characters naturally. You might say, oh, I couldn't really walk out there by nature with him in the practical things of daily life, or with her and these differences. But where the love of Christ, dear friends, and faith is in exercise, there'll be that bond to the glory of God who has saved sinners. Sinners like yourself and sinners like the others. In the practical sense of our earthly life, there's no perfect church. But Christ is to be the glory in the midst. That's the perfection, isn't it? That's the completion. Oh, dear friends, if we know the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts, and we remain outside physically the church, we're not walking rightly. We're not in true unison, are we, in unity with the people of God? We're not made one with them through our own, whatever reason we have within us. Maybe you think, oh, I'm not worthy to take that step outwardly. Well, you're not, of course you're not. Your worthiness is in what Christ hath done and shown unto you, which you're to testify of. You might say, oh, I have fear. I fear that I will fail and maybe bring disgrace upon his name and his word. Well, dear friends, if you're the Lord's, he's revealed himself to you. His promise is, fear not, I will help thee. I will hold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. He won't let you fall into those outward things to bring dishonour and disgrace as you trust in him at all times. But dear friends, I trust it's not that, oh, I can't walk with those of the church because I don't agree with that and don't agree with that. And oh, when you begin to judge. Oh, dear friends, be very careful. We're all sinners. The unity of the church is to be one with Jesus. Him first, foremost, and all in all. Oh, what does Paul say here? We're all of one body. We're on one body in Christ. Every one members one of another. We all have differing gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And dear friends, the Church of Christ upon earth has its all its various functions, doesn't it? In walking in love one to each other, and even those outside of the church, or those who perhaps are enemies to the Church of Christ. Through that faith in Christ, we're still to walk in love, hoping that, trusting that, praying that, or in our conduct, in humility, and trusting Christ, we may be an example to stir up their heart, to stir up their mind, praying the Holy Spirit, may his blessing be upon them. Or that in all things the word of Christ may go forth, a free course, and be glorified. And then, oh, I read chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. That's a difficult one, isn't it? But Paul says all the higher powers are ordained by God. Our government, those in places of authority and influence, they're ordained by God to be over us. And there's a purpose for them being there. It may be for his wrath to be exercised upon us through them. Oh, dear friends, when things come against us through those of authority and power over us, how we should seek and tremble. What are our sins? Why has the Lord's hand been brought to be against us, his church and his people? So search our hearts, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead us by the way everlasting, still looking unto Jesus, and still rejoicing in that hope. Oh, that the Lord is mindful of us. He has still got all things under his control. There's a purpose. He causes it to come. Wherefore, correction, or for his land, or for mercy, there's a purpose in all things. And we're exhorted, aren't we, to pray for them. To pray for those in authority over us. So that we may live peaceably here upon this earth to the honour and glory of God. Oh, we're exhorted, oh, to obey the commands and to love one another as he has loved us. Dear friends, whatever the circumstances of our lives, these are the things in which we are to conduct ourselves in. There's a number of them here, isn't there? We've only taken one verse of them. I won't go through them. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of saints and hospitality and so forth. James says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Dear friends, where the Lord has begun that work, oh, we're to serve him, aren't we? We're to obey his voice, we're to do his will, to his honour and to his glory. And whatever comes in our pathway, we're still to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in God. rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, for the Lord will bring us safely through. And our testimony in that last day will be, my Jesus hath done all things well. Oh, he hath given himself a sacrifice for my sin. Nothing has been able, now to accuse me of all my transgressions. That shed blood has cleansed me from all my sin. And my eternal life is found through his resurrection. He hath done all things for the good of my soul, to take that place reserved in heaven above. Then, dear friends, whatever our pathway, keep looking unto Jesus, trusting in him at all times. He is ever there, won't let you be tempted above what you're able. We'll make that way to escape, that we may glorify him in the supply of all of our need. Well, may the Lord help us to live to his honour, to his glory, not losing sight of that hope, that expectation in glory, through Christ our Saviour. Amen.